talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I don't need no fancy introduction. I'm not Elvis Presley. Let's just get on with it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. This is my handle, and this is my spout. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout. Tip me over and pour me out.
voicesfromspirit.com/V21N5/links.htm.
And now,
or sweetjames.com.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning, the 27th of February.
Hey, the girl.
Hi, Bean.
How you feeling?
Allie lives.
I do. Yeah, I got one of those fun little migraines. Hit about 2-ish in the morning yesterday.
Good times.
And I thought I could make it in, but then you try and stand up to take a shower. And
sure.
Then you see, you know, 5 different orbs to your side, and then you puke. And you think, no.
You've had a lot of vomiting lately.
Yeah. Yeah. Not by choice.
It doesn't sound like you're choosing it.
No. Right. No.
I enjoyed your social media last night where people are very helpfully trying to suggest things as if you haven't tried everything your entire life.
And that happens, and it's lovely, and I appreciate everyone, but trust me, I've had migraines more than half of my life, and I've tried everything.
The only one that struck me as unusual, and I wanted to ask you about, was somebody said acupuncture had been effective for him or her.
And congratulations, it wasn't for me.
You tried that too?
I tried it. I've done acupuncture, I've done massages, I've done Botox in the cranium, I've done oils.
When they do that Botox thing, they give you like 100 shots, right?
All over your noggin.
Oh.
Yeah. And it doesn't even make wrinkles go away in your face. It doesn't travel. There's no point to it.
It'd be nice if that was a side effect.
Exactly.
What?
But I've done the weed oil. I've done everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Every possible thing.
Have you done the weed?
Yes.
Okay.
What causes migraines? Do they know?
You know, I don't know. Some people get them hormonally. They get them when their visitor comes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Aunt flow.
Right, I get it.
Their period.
We understand. No, we got it. Okay. No, we got
okay.
It.
Other people get it, maybe hereditary, not sure, but my mom got them. Her 5 sisters got them.
Wow.
Just
you're
real,
screwed.
Real lucky. It's and my mom had a brain aneurysm, so that's handy too.
Wow.
I have a lot to look forward to.
So it's a built-in thing like any other disease, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Just kind of baked into your DNA.
It is baked into my DNA.
Well, we're happy
kind
to
of
have
baked
you.
Into your DNA.
A little bit baked into my DNA.
Seems
happy
like
to
that.
Have you back, and I appreciate how many people, when you were writing about the ghosts last night, asked if they stopped by to do a load of laundry.
I appreciate it very, very much.
Hey, Kevin, this story is just for you today.
All right.
There are 2 types of people in the world, in my opinion, when it comes to gambling, winning, and what you do with the money, how
right.
you look at that money that you win.
Right.
For instance, you do the guys' night out poker thing a few times a year. If you walk in there with nothing and at one point you are up $200,
right.
is that $200 of your money that then you are going to lose and be sad about? Or are you a kind of guy who can lose that $200 and walk out at the end of the night and going, I'm walking out with exactly what I walked in with. I didn't lose a penny.
If it's exactly what I walked in with, I'm fine with it.
Oh.
But let's say I walk in with 200 and I've got 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't want to give all that back. It makes a difference.
Well, you want your original 200 back, you mean, at least.
Yes, plus.
You
plus maybe like an extra 200.
Mm.
Oh, interesting.
You want to make sure that you leave a winner.
Okay.
Okay.
So, or a push at the very worst, which means you come in with 200, you leave with 200, you're fine.
Now, okay. do you think, though, in my example, if you're up $200 and you lose it all, in your mind, have you lost $200? Or do you go, I didn't even have this money an hour ago.
Yeah, you
so
call it play with
I
house
really
money.
Didn't lose it.
You play it calling with house money. It's
yeah.
it's sort of like you didn't lose it. You clearly did, but it's sort of like you didn't.
Well, this story is fascinating to me. You may know his name. His name is Jake Cody, and he is one of the top poker players in the world. He's won world titles, European titles, won hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years playing poker. He's been professional, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. He's British. He lives in L.A. now. And he was at a tournament, the UK Poker Championships tournament, and split the winnings. It was a four-way split pot, okay. And he won $8 less than 60 grand as his walk-away money.
Okay.
So $60,000 as a result of his hard-earned work at the UK Poker Championships. He's at the Dusk Till Dawn Casino in Nottingham, England, and he decides that rather than go home with that $60,000, which I don't know, I feel like is a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. He probably worked a long time for that.
Probably did, yeah. He decided instead he was going to head into the casino, go to the roulette table, and put it all on black.
No.
Good move, bad move?
Bad.
Bad move.
Really? He didn't have that $60,000 when he showed up.
Right, but that's so much more. I mean, that's... That seems like if you have $60,000, you want to keep track of most of that and walk out with most of that.
So
that you're an actual winner. If he put it all, look, even if he matched his buy-in and padded it by, you know, $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, at least he walks out a winner and he can put the rest of it on.
Yeah. Now, roulette, I have been told, I don't know anything about any kind of gambling. I have been told it's a sucker's game.
It is.
My understanding is that it's either going to be black or it's going to be red or it's going to be green, right? There's one or two zero and double zeros greens, right? So you have just under 50% odds of either red or black if you decide to bet at all.
Which is pretty close to the odds of all the other games.
Okay.
I mean, Vegas only has, you know, 2-3% odds.
Okay.
For the most part.
So he put his $60,000 down on black. Let's go to the tape.
Let's go!
Oh,
so he's got his mates, and the ball is spinning around, and it takes a long time to spin because one of those big roulette tables where it has an upper deck and then it drops down into the lower deck. Here we go. Let's see what happens.
Oh, no.
He got it.
He doubled it.
Wow.
He got it. He walked out with $119,882.
Holy
crap.
He doubled his money. Now, what did he do with it then is my question. It doesn't say, but he's a pussy if he didn't bet it again, right?
Until he lost it.
Until he just keep going like that dude in Vegas who bet on the World Series. Just let it roll,
man. Yeah, he took it away when he was a winner, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He took it away.
Yeah, so, I think Vegas is built on people who don't take it away when they're a winner.
Because... Like Muggs, he goes, I got a hot hand, man, right? Muggs feels like he can never lose once he gets a couple under his belt.
I can't lose. I can't imagine putting that much money on one roll.
Isn't that something? So do we admire him, or did he just get lucky and he's still a massive idiot?
He's an idiot that got really lucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm an idiot, so I sort of envy him.
Would you like to, in your wildest fantasies, would you like having the stones to be able to make that decision? Or are you glad that you're so sensible?
Yeah,
that you
wouldn't? I don't think I have the stones to make that decision because that's not a stone decision. That's just dumb.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with stones in my book. And I have a book of balls.
So that's not me. Tell us about this book of balls, would you?
Just saying, it doesn't take stones to do that. You're just an imbecile.
Right. Correct. And he's $120,000 richer.
Exactly. Yes. Very smart, very rich imbecile.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
How can so much and so little be happening and that had to be ours?
We're going to give you an update in the 6 o'clock hour on the Kevin and Bean advertising campaign, which we're, I'm pleased to announce, making some great progress on.
Oh.
Very exciting. We have Bean Makes Us Guess, which we do from time to time, and I usually win.
Can we source Kevin on that, Ellie?
Yeah, I had such a slow reaction to that. I literally was like, wait, huh? What?
Yeah, I think he's correct.
I don't think so.
I mean, not always, but I'd say 90%.
Someone's going to have to redefine the word win to me.
Yeah.
I tried to kill a coyote the other night.
Oh.
Bean's very upset at me.
Wait.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, but I do think it's an interesting conversation to have. I would not have made that choice.
What?
It wasn't a choice as much as it was just a gut reaction.
I understand.
Because it was like eating your kid?
That would have made a lot of sense if that were the case.
I missed yesterday.
We've got tickets for April Fool's, which we announced yesterday. We're very excited about this. Tickets go until Friday at 10. We did. You were in
Look,
bed.
The show doesn't stop without you, Ellie. Oh, you still got to go on and do things.
I understand.
Psycho Mike is seriously considering getting rid of his smartphone and getting a flip phone.
Yes.
He is. And I'm also interested in this discussion because there are so many people who are telling him, I totally get it. That's a great idea. You should do it. Yet none of them will do it.
Yeah, I don't think
everybody
I ever
thinks it's a great idea for somebody else.
Is it just the social media aspect? There's just too much on your phone?
I mean, he'll explain to us, but I assume it's all of the stuff that's on your phone that you spend all day doing.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can do it.
I don't either.
You don't think he'll ever get rid of the smartphone?
I don't think he will. I think it would be very difficult for a guy as active and involved in the world as Mike is to be in the dark like that. He would miss out on so much. Plus, he wouldn't have a camera for catherwooding. So
how would he handle that? But all the sick stuff he sends us.
Yeah, true.
Right. Where does that joy come from now?
Maybe we should be rooting for him to get rid of the smartphone then.
Right.
And get off that list.
All right, so that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. This is going to be a fun day with Allie.
Is she on drugs, too?
She's not really working.
In addition to being blonde, is she on drugs?
Holy crap.
Wow.
What just happened there?
I took a new medication yesterday. I'm not going to lie. It made me a bit on the loopier side.
Excellent.
Oh, that's what you need.
Yeah.
that's exactly what was called for in your life. Hey, it's 5:54. It's Tuesday morning, time for our first What's Happening?
This is not something I expected to see. First of all, I'm sure you all heard yesterday about Kevin Smith's massive heart attack.
Yeah.
Horrible situation. So Chris Pratt went to Twitter and said, Kevin, we don't know each other too good, but I've loved you since Clerks. I'm praying my ass off for you because I believe in the healing power of prayer. Can you please pray with me, people? Nice, right?
Right.
He's just sending out a little love, maybe some positive thoughts. That would be wonderful. Well, people started losing it. One, for saying praying your ass off. That's inappropriate. Okay, you're nuts right there, people. And then other people that were confusing thoughts and prayers with actual just prayers.
Actual prayer.
So people were saying, oh, don't you know thoughts and prayers don't work? Where have you been? What's happening? And so this is just bizarre. When Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn has to step in and basically tell people the mistake they're making between understanding the backlash against thoughts and prayers, mm-hmm. which essentially is inaction, when something horrible happens and you can do something to change it instead of just tweeting thoughts and prayers.
Right.
That's where that backlash comes from.
Which is completely understandable, too, by the way.
Completely understandable. So then he said, I just read Chris Pratt's tweet to Kevin Smith saying he would pray and made the mistake of reading the comments. I think people misunderstand the backlash of thoughts and prayers. Prayers alone will not change the world, but no one expects Chris Pratt to shoulder doctors out of the way and perform heart surgery on Kevin Smith, nor does Kevin need Chris to pay his medical bills. So I think his prayers are appreciated, and it's about all he can do. What is wrong with people?
The internet is ready to pounce.
On anything.
On anything, right or wrong. Doesn't
matter. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Chris Pratt wants to pray for me, I am taking his prayers.
Sure.
All day long. And by prayers.
You can't.
What?
That doesn't even make sense.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
I think there are also some people who just look for every opportunity to poop on religion, too, because they're not believers. They don't. They think anyone who believes in the power of prayer is dumb.
Yeah, I get that, and I get that people might have gotten confused by thoughts and prayers as well, but at some point you just have to say, hey, I'm going to sit back and maybe not get angry at everything I see on the internet.
Don't be ridiculous.
I know, it's crazy. Holy shady. 50 Cent, what is happening with you and Bitcoin? Remember back in January, we all found out that he had accepted Bitcoin as his payment for his 2014 album, Animal Ambition. Turned out he made upwards of $8.5 million. And then he wound up saying, oh, no, I didn't even know I had that. But then I logged in and, whoa, there it was. And we were all like, he doesn't even understand how much money he has.
Right. We thought he was some sort of evil financial genius.
Yeah. Well, now it turns out, which, correct me if I'm wrong, this all sounds very very shady. 50 told a bankruptcy court that none of this was true. He didn't publicly deny the reports and said, quote, "This is particularly true when I feel the press report in question is favorable to my image or brand, even if the report is based on a misunderstanding of the facts or contains outright falsehoods." So did the press report incorrectly and he didn't want to mess with this brand?
Sounds like it.
I don't have that money.
All right,
so he
I'll
just
take it.
Went along with it. And then his official statement to the court goes on to say, quote, "Never owned and does not own a Bitcoin account or any Bitcoins. And to the best of his knowledge, none of his companies had a Bitcoin account from 2014 to the present."
That's awesome.
So someone is trying to keep this money away from the government because of taxes,
it's
maybe?
What it sounds like. They're trying to hide this money if there is money, but
right.
It sounds like there's
right.
money. It's just all very bizarre, but I respect it.
I would love to have so much money that I would spend some of my time denying how much money I have.
That would be a great
life. It
would
be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice problem to have.
I would be into that, very much so. Let's talk about some birthdays. Singer Josh Groban, actress Kate Mara, and singer Rosanda Chili Thomas from TLC. And that's what's happening.
Have you guys heard the new Bishop Rick song? I think we're playing here on Kira called White Flag.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard that?
I've heard
I
that.
Have.
So good.
Yep.
I dig her. Hey, Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Allie turned it into a long weekend. So she missed the big announcement yesterday about our 10th annual April Foolishness show, which it occurs to me there may be people, other people who missed yesterday's show who don't even know that this thing was announced, but it's on and it's happening March 31st. At the Microsoft Theater. Kevin, you had very nice things to say about the Microsoft Theater yesterday.
Well, yeah, especially compared to the Shrine. I mean, I like the Shrine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But Microsoft Theater is beautiful.
Yeah.
And has really nice seats and enough room to actually spread out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's room in between rows. It's really nice.
Are you suggesting that our listeners are too fat to enjoy shows at the Shrine?
It's maybe too nice for us. You know what I mean? Like I say, certain people can't have nice things. I think mm-hmm. we might fit into that group.
I was a little bit nervous in the years that we did our show at the Shrine that it does seem historic and precious and fancy and that somehow we were going to ruin it. Like, I didn't want our show and our listeners
to be... Wait, you
thought
we were going to ruin the Shrine?
Yes,
too
I was
late.
Worried.
Have you... What?
Too late on the Shrine.
I was worried about us tearing it down somehow. That's all. But the Microsoft Theater is very, very nice. And we're going to be there on Saturday, March 31st with another unbelievable lineup. I was reminiscing yesterday about how many great comedians we've seen over the years. And this year looks just as fun.
Can I play the promo again just so people can hear that?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Hey, party people. It's the 10th annual
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
March 31st at the Microsoft Theater.
Yay!
Helping us celebrate.
Gabriel Iglesias.
People, when they get drunk, they say things they don't mean. And you know when I'm drunk, you hear something like, "Woo! I'm going running."
Adam Devine.
I like my juice from apples, not ass.
Brad Williams.
If I ever go to a bathroom and I see one of you tall and you are using my urinal, I will go full R. Kelly on your leg, all right?
Doug Benson.
You know, it's a good thing emotional scars are invisible because if emotional scars were visible, porn would be disgusting.
April Fool's Day, something, something.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Jeff Garland.
As soon as I get home, I drop the pants.
Brian Callen.
It's weird to start my show off saying I'm funnier than God, but...
Sarah Tiana.
My vagina's like France. I always surrender.
Music by Mike Realm.
The 10th annual.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Go to krock.com for details.
Driven by your helpful SoCal Honda dealers and their random acts of helpfulness.
I mean, come on, that's pretty strong.
Yeah. That's good. That's
I'm
real
concerned
good.
Concerned about where Jeff Garland was going with the pants coming off, though.
I need to hear more.
I don't know that I want to hear more. It's a great lineup. Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. All the proceeds this year are benefiting the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. Now, they take care of soldiers in all military disciplines who have been injured serving our country and their families, by the way. They do outstanding work, so we're happy to donate a portion of the proceeds to them. And again, we're back on board with the Cedars-Sinai NICU as well for the excellent work that they do in town. Kevin, there are a wide variety of prices. I'm hoping today you have the paperwork in front of you.
I do, Bean, but I'm not going to be able to read it correctly, but I will try. you can buy tickets for $30.
Oh, wow.
That's just one seat for $30, though, so that we can say it, right?
No, no. I mean, there's a section.
Wow.
There's a whole section that you
That's
can buy
amazing.
Tickets for $30. Yeah. And then you can buy tickets for $49 and tickets for $69.
Nice.
And then the goodie bag section is $125. That has gone up a little bit this year, but it's still quite a thing where you get to sit right up front. You get a goodie bag. You get access to the pre-show VIP party where we are hanging out. You get
we're hanging out hoping to meet some VIPs.
Right. Mm-hmm. An April Foolishness shirt, VIP seats, the whole thing. So that's amazing.
Wow.
And I would like to say again that these are all comedians that can make huge money on a Saturday night, mm-hmm. that are giving it up, and we're paying them nothing.
Yeah.
So that way we can help these actual charities with the money that you spend on buying tickets. Gabriel Iglesias, Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Kellen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana, and Mike Realm all could be making huge money, and they're donating their time for this. So that's really cool. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10, Friday at 10, Friday at 10. Little left finish.
Hey!
Nope.
106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock.
Hey, we were talking about the April Foolishness concert. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10. We have a pair to give away today. The very first pair of tickets before they go on sale to the public, we're going to give them away just after 8 a.m. this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've done this before, and it's so much fun. If you have a punchline that you love, we don't want the joke. We just want the punchline. We'll be asking for those just after 8 a.m. Somebody will win the very first pair of tickets to the 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness concert.
All right, let's talk about the Kevin and Bean advertising campaign. We've been talking about getting a billboard mm-hmm. because the station has put up billboards all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all of those billboards, the one that include Kevin and Bean, the number is zero.
Oh, okay.
The number is very much zero.
It's less than one.
We had a meeting the other day. We were in trouble for something, and we found ourselves in Mr. Weatherby's office, as happens from time to time. And was it a good idea or a bad idea for me to put the question directly to him to ask if they had even considered making any of those billboards Kevin and Bean billboards?
I mean, it was fine, except for you were risking getting the answer you got, which is no.
No, we didn't consider that at all. You know, really, it was more of a K-Rock thing. So if it works for K-Rock, I guess it'll help you guys, too.
Now, we drive all over, and we see... Like, it seems like every other morning show has billboards.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. So clearly somebody thinks they work, but for whatever reason, they didn't think we needed it or they didn't think they wanted to put the resources behind that because they'd rather advertise Imagine Dragons.
So we were talking about getting one billboard. That was our push. We could mm-hmm. get one billboard. And by the way, in the meantime, it just seems like so many listeners are doing their part. They're actually making signs.
Above and beyond.
Putting them in windows, putting mm-hmm. The Santa Fe swap meet, put it on their sign. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really been crazy.
Yesterday alone, everything from that guy who put it on the door of a storage facility in Seattle, Washington, which is very helpful for us, to the person who held up a big-ass sign at WWE Raw. Did you see that?
Yes, that was awesome.
That's unbelievable. I mean, people are really going out of their way to advertise the show because K-Rock won't, and we cannot tell you how much we appreciate that. We really do. It's humbling. But I think, according to Dave, we have made progress on securing one billboard.
Yes.
Did you see the location? You see where it's going to be?
Yes, it's in the LA Coliseum parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's one billboard there.
One billboard is all we could get, and I think that's going to be going up sometime next week, so we'll have some more specifics on that. So you're doing your part, putting up the signs. We appreciate that very much, where you work, where you live, on the back of your car, wherever you do it. We got the one billboard going, and Kevin, you came up, I think, with a pretty genius idea the other morning at 5 o'clock in the morning that I think is going to advertise us even more.
I mean, look, this radio station got sold at the end of last year, mm-hmm. and we have new owners, Entercom. And they had to sell certain stations and make everything else work. So there's a van in the parking lot for the sound. And the sound is a radio station that this company used to own, and it mm-hmm. used to play classic rock. Now it's mm-hmm. changed. This company no longer owns it, and it's a religious station.
Right. Okay. This was 100.3 The Sound. A lot of people were very sad when it went away. But the van that they used to use for that radio station somehow ended up in our parking lot, and it was just sitting there, right?
Right. So I thought, let's claim it. What are they going to do with it? It's a van for a station that doesn't exist.
Oh, no.
Let's claim it and make it a Kevin and Bean van.
Okay.
How about that? So then early before the show, I took some spray paint and I made it happen. And this is up at Kevin and Bean On Instagram.
Kevin's never here this early. What are you doing?
Hey, Mike. Look, this is genius. This is a van for the sound.
Yes.
Our company used to own.
Yes.
The sound no longer exists. It's like a religious station or something.
Okay.
So what are they going to do with the van?
I guess have you
spray
painted?
They're going to turn it into the Kevin and Bean van.
That's
great
actually,
idea, right?
Actually, it's a great idea.
Remember the early settlers in America when they would go, they'd stake their flag and then they would own that land?
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing right now. Remember when MTV, for the moon, they put the flag on the moon?
Yes.
And claimed it for...
MTV landed on the moon, right.
So the idea is, the first ever Kevin and Bean van.
Don't you think we could have a pro do that?
Like I'm not?
A valid argument.
I mean, look at this. It's genius. Ownership is 9/10 of the law, or whatever that is.
Pretty sure ownership is 9/10 of the law, is the thing.
So wait, so your thinking was if we tag the van first, it's ours?
Yes. Who's going to want to use it? I crossed out the sound and I put Kevin and Bean on it. It's pretty janky looking, but...
very classy.
It's you really did take a professionally painted radio station van and just spray painted the hell out of it.
Yes, commandeered it.
What did you do with the back? What am I reading on the back where it used to say Southern California's classic rock?
Southern California's classic rock now says Southern California's ass rock.
Oh, okay.
And then
this
there's
was a success.
There's Kevin and Bean on both sides. It's beautiful.
We have a van.
We have
you
a
guys.
Van. We have a Kevin and Bean van.
So we have one billboard going up next week, and now we have an actual van. All right. So what are we supposed to do with the van?
All right. Now at the van, Muggs drove it to a parking lot where you, the listener, can meet him, and he's going to hand out Kevin and Bean T-shirts.
Look at this. It's all coming together.
Muggs, hi.
Hi, you guys. How you doing?
How does the van drive? It looks like it's a dump. I got to be honest.
The turning radius is crap.
Okay,
I'll tell
good.
You that much right now.
Excellent.
I think the top speed hits about 30 miles per hour.
Look,
at least.
Look, that's 30 miles per hour more than we had yesterday. Yeah,
right. But I gotta say, Kevin, your paint job is looking pretty sweet.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's touching.
I'm thinking of doing that full time.
You should.
Now, where are you, Muggs?
We are at what is known as the Rock and Roll Rouse. It's the Rouse on Sunset Boulevard at 7257 West Sunset Boulevard in between Fairfax and La Brea.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. And Kevin mentioned that you might have Kevin Amin T-shirts to give away. Is that a fact?
Yes, we do. I have a box, and they are just ready to be given away.
Hey, Bean, you're going to find this story funny, too. We didn't know that we had Kevin and Bean T-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We had them made, like, a year or two ago.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And they were just in the prize closet. And somebody found a box and went through, and they were like, oh, look.
This is quite the organization.
We have some Kevin and Bean shirts.
That's information we could have used
right?
at any point in the last year.
Well, I mean, we found them now, and we're going to give them away now if you meet Beer Mug and the Kevin and Bean van.
All right, so the Sunset Ralph's in West Hollywood is where Muggs is. You got the T-shirts to give away, first come, first serve. And I wanted to ask you, because this is the first time the van has been out since Kevin's artwork was added to it, did you get any kind of looks, any kind of reactions to seeing a tagged van driving down the street?
A guy was leaving the Ralph's supermarket like, what the hell is this piece of crap doing here?
Right? That was the intended? Like, perfect.
A total just side-eye look.
Sure.
Okay. All right. How long are you going to be down there, Muggs, for folks?
I guess we'll be here about an hour. If you're listening to this, get down here. We got to give you some shirts.
I won't let you take pictures of the van, but you have to pay us $100.
Yeah,
where is that coming from?
I'm just making it up, like Lonzo Ball.
Oh, yeah.
No, we'll let you take them for free, of course.
Yes, take pictures of the van so we can post it, because we're very proud of this, because somebody's likely to get arrested as a result of it. Thanks, Muggs.
You got it, guys.
All right, take care. We have a van.
Yeah.
We do have a van.
We have T-shirts.
It's like we're a real radio station all of a sudden, you guys, after all this time. It's kind of exciting
Except
a little bit.
We're stealing all of the above.
I know. We haven't earned it.
Except for that.
Again, Beer Mug in location for about another 45 minutes or so at the what's known as the Rock and Roll Ralph's supermarket location on Sunset Boulevard. If you want to stop by while they last, we do have Kevin and Bean T-shirts. And please, if you get your picture taken with the janky Kevin and Bean van, formerly the sound van, please upload it and tag us so we can see it and share it too, because that'll be fun. All right, 6:53 Tuesday. Allie's here. What's happening?
Have you heard about this new album that's going to be out on April 6th? It's Johnny Cash, Forever Words album.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
I knew you would know about this. Absolutely.
Well, I'm just so excited. Some of my favorite artists are on it, and it looks like just a wonderful project filled with love.
What
Absolutely.
Is it, tribute album?
Well, it's essentially words and poetry from Johnny Cash put to music, so put to recorded songs. And these are artists across multiple genres. You've got Elvis Costello, Jewel, Brad Paisley, John Mellencamp, a bunch of different people, and including Chris Cornell, who has transformed a pair of Johnny Cash poems into an absolutely just heart-wrenching acoustic ballad that we got to hear yesterday. It's called You Never Knew My Mind.
With the come on,
wow.
Right?
That voice.
Wow.
Just unbelievable.
And they, as I understand, they had a real mutual affection for one another, Chris Cornell and Johnny Cash, right?
Yeah. His son had reached out to him and said, do you want to be a part of this? And he said, you don't understand. I have loved your father forever.
Wow.
And he was like, my dad felt the same about you. And that sound, wow, that song is just unbelievable.
Yesterday, and of course, Johnny Cash recorded a Soundgarden song too. Remember Rusty Cage? Mm-hmm. Yesterday on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, they posted a photo that I have not seen probably since we took it, Kevin.
Yeah.
Which was you and me. You ready for this, Allie?
Uh-huh.
And Johnny Cash in the studio at K-Rock when he came in, when he made his first American Recordings record, when he got hooked up with Rick Rubin and started making those records. And we had the opportunity to have Mr. Cash on as a guest on the show. And oftentimes doing this program, I have been asked over the years, which guests have you been most excited to meet? And the answer I usually give is Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
The fact that we had him in the studio and were able to interview him
is a total lapse of judgment on his part.
For
absolutely.
Sure.
Or his people.
Yes, we had no business being in the same room as Johnny Cash. But what a thrill to meet him. And I didn't even know a photo existed.
Yeah.
And when I saw it on social media last night, I was like, oh, man, I'm so happy to see that.
If you want to hear that Chris Cornell song, by the way, it's up at krock.com.
Excellent. And, Kevin, you didn't mention that picture was in studio. You said that you guys were just reminiscing about your time at Folsom together.
That's where I thought it was from.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Bean and I were at Folsom. That's what I thought.
Was that when you shot a man in Reno just to watch him die,
right,
Kevin?
Exactly. God, I'm glad we have the same memory.
Oh, my gosh. That picture is amazing. Where can we find that picture? Is that one on the K-Rock Instagram?
Yes, I believe so.
At Kevin and Bean. If it's not, we'll put it up.
Yeah, we should definitely put that one up. You guys met some great people during your time here.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
And you look back and you go, what's Johnny Cash slumming with us for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So weird.
It is very weird. Also very weird, what is happening with Stan Lee's money?
Oh,
remember,
no.
Yeah, last month we found out that $850,000 of his bank account money went to buy a condo. He had no idea about it. Then another $300,000 disappeared. He didn't know who took that. Well, according to TMZ, another $1.4 million just up and disappeared.
How is that happening?
And he has no idea how. Sources connected said that LAPD sent out some detectives in a specialized unit. They deal with elder financial abuse. They showed up at his home on Friday and talked to him for over 2 hours. They want to know exactly who has access to your accounts, the timeline of when it went missing, and he had to turn over financial records just to help find the culprit.
Wow.
But this is nuts.
It is. You would think that a guy like Stan Lee, with so much business going on, mm-hmm. would have some sort of a system with financial gatekeepers that he could trust.
And then you wonder, are those gatekeepers the ones that are, you know, siphoning some of this money? It's very concerning.
Wow, that is concerning.
By the way, you know, we've been lucky enough to have Stan Lee on the show many times over the years, and we always marvel at how many, no pun intended, at how many characters he created. I mean, mm-hmm. you look at the guy and you go, all right, you invented Spider-Man, and you invented Iron Man, and you invented the Fantastic Four, and it just goes on and on and on. He also created Black Panther, you guys.
Sure.
I mean, it's just insane. It never stops.
So steal from him, right? Is that what we're saying?
No, that's not my point at all. Okay. I'm saying the guy deserves complete deference and respect.
I agree. 100%.
Leave Stan's money alone.
Yeah, let's hope they get to the bottom of this and this money is returned.
But
it's
don't let him pinch your ass.
All right.
It's a different story.
Thanks for bringing that one up, Bean.
Some celebrity birthdays. Actress Kate Mara, singer Josh Groban, and Rosanda Chili Thomas from TLC. And that's what's happening.
All right, the movie Coco is coming out on Blu-ray and on streaming. And if you'd like that, we're going to play a game next. I don't think you need to know any information about the game. Just call 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a break. We'll come right back and play that game next.
Hey, Michael D. Catherwood.
Yo.
You take your little daughter to go see Coco?
Twice.
Great movie, right?
I cried both times and didn't even try to hide it. You know, other animated films, you try to pretend like you're not crying and you're like, oh, no, I just got something in my eye. I was like, it's so good. It's so sweet. I love this movie so much.
It was one of the best movies of 2017, and it is finally available on Blu-ray right now, courtesy of Disney and Pixar. We have copies to give away. What's this game called, please?
Are you down with the brown?
Yo, down with the brown. Come on, L.A. Just guess the brown man, you'll win today. A copy of Coco on Blu-ray. So call up K-Rock, come on and play. Down with the brown.
Are you down?
Down with the brown.
Are you down?
Down with the brown.
Are you down?
Down with the brown.
So I'm sensing a theme here because the Coco is all about the Mexican heritage.
Yes.
And that beautiful country and its history and its culture and its music. And that's what Are You Down with the Brown is related to?
Yes. And I am a secret Mexican because most people don't know that.
Correct.
I'm a clandestine Mexican.
Because you changed your name when you came across the border.
I did, yes. You know, I was ashamed of it when I got to Hollywood. Because I'm a Mexican on my mom's side, so a lot of people don't suspect. And there's plenty of celebrities who are the same. They celebrities in Hollywood who are either half Mexican or part Mexican, and you don't even know it.
Okay.
So I'm going to name for each caller two celebrities, and you have to guess the brown.
Oh, I see.
And we have five of these, five winners, so you don't qualify. You automatically win. All right, let's start with Max in La Habra. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, Max, you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. John Mayer or Louis C.K.?
Oh, Louis C.K.
Oh, strong.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, C.K. is
down with the brown.
It's a very popular Latin American name, C.K.
And a lot of gingers down south. I wonder, like, is Louis C.K. and Canelo Alvarez, are they somehow related? They've got to be.
They've got to be. They're the only two gingers from Mexico.
I'm sure that's true. All right, let's go to Cleo from Azusa. Hi.
How's it going? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Cleo. Jessica
Leo,
Alba.
Leo.
Oh, Leo. Sorry, Leo.
Whatever, dude. Take it easy.
Yeah. Relax.
We don't actually care. You know that, right, Leo?
To do a game.
Oh, my God.
All right.
No, we care.
You ready, Marcus? It's Jessica Alba or Ellen DeGeneres?
Jessica Alba.
Yeah, strong.
Are you down?
Down with the brown.
Nicely done. All right, let's move on to Jody in Huntington Beach. Hi, Jody.
Hello.
All right, Jody, are you down with the brown?
I think so.
Okay. Edward Furlong or Ian Ziering? Ian Ziering, sorry. Ian.
Oh, I'm going to say Ian Ziering.
I'm very sorry. Oh. Edward Furlong.
Hmm.
That's
Mexican
shocking.
On his mother's side. I
didn't know that. All right. Thank you for the call, Jody. We appreciate it. Let's go to Tish in Fullerton. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Here we go, Tish. Courtney Love or Andre Ethier?
Andre Ethier.
Yeah, strong. Mexican-French prince of the desert.
Woo-hoo! Are you down
with the brown?
All right. That is three.
Three.
Okay.
That's three. Right.
So we have two more. Let's go to Diego in Pomona. Hi.
Hey, ¿qué pasa, raza?
What's up, Diego?
Diego, we're playing for the Coco movie on Blu-ray, courtesy of Disney Pixar. Which celebrity is Latin American?
Here we go.
Give me an easy one.
All right. Uma Thurman or Jennifer Lawrence?
Jennifer Lawrence.
I'm sorry. Uma Thurman, half Mexican.
She is half
Uma.
Oh, well.
Uma.
Wouldn't have known that.
I know.
Thanks for the call.
I was shocked by that one.
Let's go to Chastain?
Yeah.
Chastain in Long Beach.
Hello, Chastain.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you a Viking warrior?
Arr, I'm
trying. All right.
Half.
All right.
Half.
Are you ready?
See nice. What you did?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The Edge of U2 or Nicole Richie?
Nicole Richie.
That's right.
Nicely done. Are you down
with the Brown? Now, right. Is that because Lionel Richie married a Latin woman? Is that what happened there, Mike?
According to Sheila E., who is Nicole Richie's aunt, she is a quarter Mexican.
Okay, okay. That's pretty effing shaky right there.
Yeah.
Hey, if Sheila E. says it, though. All right, we got four giveaways down, one to go. Who's our next contestant,
next
please?
Up is Alfredo in Lawndale. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Alfredo. I love your sauce. All right, are you ready?
Okay, straight
file
to
that, by the way.
File with extreme prejudice.
When the listeners call for the file,
yeah,
they get it.
You're right. All right, are you ready, Alfredo? Here we go. Chris Pratt right. or Tony Romo?
Tony Romo.
That's right. Are you down
with the Brown? Nicely done.
There
enjoy
you go. The movie. Available everywhere for sale today. Thanks, Mike.
No problem. Are you down with the Brown? Are you
down with the Brown? Mike, you were out in the parking lot a couple of mornings ago before the sun even came up watching yes. Kevin spray paint the sound van, right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm an artist. Is that your question?
Well, here's my question, because Kimberly writes in, Kevin, your writing with the spray paint can on the van is suspiciously clear. Either you've had quite a lot of practice or you're naturally talented with a can of spray paint. The latter is nearly impossible, so where have you been tagging? You look like a guy who knew his way around a can of spray paint.
One of the first things I said to Kevin, I said, you did a really good job. What's going on?
It's not really that hard, you guys. Okay. There's no artwork on it.
I'm just saying.
It's not like I drew a lovely sunset.
And did Kevin spell all the words correctly on the van, by the way?
We haven't checked.
I believe Kevin and Bean were all accurate. Anyway, we decided to take over the van from the radio station, The Sound, that our company used to own. It wasn't being used. It was just sitting in the parking lot, and it's currently driving around Southern California. I think Beer Mug stopped at that Ralph's location and gave away a bunch of T-shirts, and I think we'll send them out someplace else later for people who want to meet him and see the van. Advertising, guys. This is what it's like.
Right? Yeah.
It's taking off. We're like a real radio station now.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful van.
I like it.
It is nice.
Hey, it's time for B-Mix's Guest. B-Mix's Guest, yeah. Ooh, ooh. B-Mix's Guest, yeah. Who gets penis slapped? Penis a dick. Pretty dope, man. Just wanna tell ya. I am the dumbest human that ever lived. Now it's time for B-Mix's Guest. Yes. I found this list interesting. We all enjoy fast food. Business Insider has put out their annual list of the top 10 fast food chains in America ranked by sales. All right, so this isn't by location. This isn't by who thinks what is the best fast food location. This is just by the amount of sales they have, money that they bring in. Top 10 fast food chains in the U.S. by sales in 2018. Kevin, you're at the head of the table. You get to go first. What say you?
A&W.
Why do you do this? Why do you sabotage the
game? I'm sabotage. That's a great guess.
Try a guess that is possibly in the top 10.
Okay. McDonald's.
It is number one. Yes, McDonald's.
Wasn't as fun.
It was the most successful fast food chain in America with $36.4 billion in yearly sales, by the way.
Wow.
And that was before the Szechuan sauce.
Right?
All right. You are on the board. Michael Catherwood.
I'm going to go with Hardee's / Carl's Jr.
I'm sorry. No, that's number 15 on the list. Oh. Not inside the top 10, but an excellent guess. Miss Ellen McKay.
I'm not sure if this would even count as fast food because you normally think of it as coffee, but a Starbucks.
Allie, number two.
Wow. I wouldn't even thought of Starbucks as a fast food.
With $14.8 billion. Quite a drop, by the way, from McDonald's. But yes, Starbucks number two. Well done.
Thank you.
But that's because every cup of coffee is $30, right?
Sure.
So they don't have to sell a lot to make that kind of cash. All right, Kevin, you're up.
I'm going to say Burger King.
Burger King is number five.
Boom!
Nice, Kevin.
Well done. Been a long time since Kevin's had two in a row, ladies
The only
and gentlemen.
Person with no points, Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Mike, things. What do you got?
Subway.
Yes. Subway is number three. Oh, you guys are good. Already 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Fast food is our world, Bean.
Apparently so. Adam McKay.
I'm shocked Kevin hasn't said it. Taco Bell.
Sure, I got it on my list.
Only number four. Taco Bell, by the way, was the big news of this year's survey. They moved up to number four, surpassing Burger King as number five. The research firm Technomic says it's the result of their Locos Tacos, their Nacho Fries, and their Quesaritos. So they have been surging upward. So Taco Bell, number four. So there you go. You got the top five already, you guys. Kevin, I believe you're up.
Tony Romo's.
Tony Romo's, ladies and gentlemen. What a pull. No, I'm sorry. Michael.
All right. Wendy's.
Number six.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Really?
Did you guys all read this list before we started?
No, fast food. That's where I live.
Wendy's is $9 billion a year, you guys. Alan McKay?
See, this is tough because I don't think they're everywhere, mm-hmm. but I think they do a killing. Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A is number eight.
Ow!
Wow. Look at you.
Boom!
Wow.
Because I didn't think Wendy's was everywhere, so then maybe Chick-fil-A would be.
Chick-fil-A, by the way, and that's with being closed on Sunday. They still come in the top 10 with $8 billion in sales a year. All right, let's go around one more time.
KF Mother Effin' C.
I would have said the same thing.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Number 14.
Oh,
number
that's
14.
Ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I can't
help
it.
That's absurd.
It did not make the top
yet. I hate this list.
Mike, your final guess, please.
Mostly open 24 hours. I believe it's a national chain. I'm going to go with Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box came in at number 19.
Ow!
Allie, your final guess.
Is pizza considered fast food?
Why don't you tell me?
I mean, I would guess so.
But then Domino's has to be, right?
Ooh. Number 10, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
I believe Allie McKay is our winner, you guys.
She is our winner, yes.
Champion.
Thank you.
I've got
a couple more guesses.
What else do you have?
Well, I was going to say Dunkin', but I don't think they're
Dunkin' Donuts
everywhere.
Was number 7 on the list, by the way.
Allie! Give
yourself another point!
No, you don't get credit for that.
Here's your top 20 real fast. Number 20, Popeyes. Number 19, Jack in the Box. Then Little Caesars. Dairy Queen was at 17. Arby's, 16. Carl's Jr. / Hardee's, 15. That's that restaurant, depending on what part of the country you're in. Then KFC, Sonic, Chipotle, Panera Bread. Then Domino's, Pizza Hut, Chick-fil-A, Dunkin' Donuts. Yes, Pizza Hut. Dunkin' Donuts, Wendy's, Burger King, Taco Bell, Subway, Starbucks, and McDonald's. I would say you are all excellent at this game, but Allie is the winner. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
That's Sober Up by AJR featuring Rivers Cuomo. How about that?
They were already Weezer-esque before they put the Weezer guy on, but now they're extra Weezer-esque. Hey, about 20 minutes from right now, by the way, we're going to be opening up the phone lines looking for your punchlines. Don't call now, but right around 8 o'clock, we'll open up the phones and we'll give away the very first pair of tickets for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness concert just announced March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. They go on sale this Friday morning, 10 at noon. And
10 a.m.
10 a.m., sorry.
Friday morning, 10 a.m., right.
We'll be giving away the very first pair. You'll be the only person who will have tickets if you have the best punchline coming up here on camera.
Now make sure we don't want the joke.
No.
Mm-mm. Only the punchline.
Jokes are for losers.
Right. All right. It is 7:35 now. I had to confess something to Bean that I wasn't thrilled to confess to him because I knew he'd be upset.
Okay.
And that's the other night I was driving my car coming home from the Kings game Saturday night. And I saw a coyote and I tried to run it over. It was just my initial instinct was to run it over.
Why?
Because coyotes are coming down from the hills and killing all pets. They're all up and down the street. There's neighbors with dead pets.
Okay.
So that seems bad.
Well, put your pets inside.
Yeah, that's easy to say, but I have a 3-4 pound dog,
mm-hmm.
and we keep a really good eye on her.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally she gets outside. That happens. You can't watch them 24/7. So I tried to kill it, which, by the way, is legal.
Like, you gunned the car?
Yes.
Oh, Kevin.
Having said that, I feel like had I hit it, I would have been upset.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so.
But I was upset at the time about all of our friends and all of the pets in the neighborhood because they do. They're all over, and they are killing pets like crazy. Was I wrong?
Yes.
Now, I don't think that was a week.
Well, I've had family and friends that have had bobcats, coyotes, everything come into the backyard, snatch their pets, gone.
I lost a cat to a coyote, by the way.
Well, that you doesn't did. Count. But I'm talking like dogs.
We're talking about pets.
Yeah,
like
pets.
Dogs.
Come on.
Come on.
And it's heartbreaking. It's so sad. It's awful. But then you have to think, that coyote was there first. And it's coming down to these houses because it can't find food because we're screwing up its ecosystem. It's our fault.
So
I didn't think through all of that.
No,
that might surprise you. But so like a neighbor of ours had a little kid, and she
took the kid.
She came outside, and there was a this is going to be sort of gross, but there was an empty shell of her dog, of her pet. Yeah, on the front yard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, that just made me feel horrible.
Yeah.
So then I saw the coyote. I was like, you mother effer.
Yeah. And you know it was the same one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a great point, Allie. Could have been a very innocent coyote. Very nice.
There's no such thing as an innocent coyote. They're all the same.
There's lots of coyotes
that haven't killed dogs, though, I bet.
You don't know that? You think every coyote in every neighborhood has killed an animal?
It's how they get jumped in.
I think they would, yes. If they could, they would, yeah.
But I bet a lot of them have it because in many cases, there's easier food to obtain than catching something. I would guess.
Here are the animals that are okay to kill according to California law. Dave, the King of Mexico, looked it up, so it's shaky already. Coyotes, one of them. Weasel, skunk, possum, moles, and rodents are all legal to kill as many as you want. Now, again, I probably would have felt really bad had I hit it, but
I'd be curious what our listeners think, by the way, if they want to weigh in real quick. Either call or text 1-800-520-1067. I feel like I don't think I overreacted when you told me that, Kevin.
You didn't.
I completely understand where you were coming from. You made a decision that coyote, which is essentially a big dog, by the way, doesn't deserve to live because it endangers somebody else's big dog that does deserve to live.
Yes.
We've made a determination that this dog is good and this dog
is
bad.
Well, one is trainable and the other is wild.
Mm-hmm.
And the wild one, when it's taking the trainable ones, goes.
And is there?
I think I'm all right with that. Although, again, I still would have felt terrible.
Is there any kind of? And I know resources are stretched in Southern California. You can't just pick up a phone and get anything done anymore. But is there something in place where they have people you can call that will come out and trank dart it and move it to someplace else or catch it somehow?
They don't really stick around. They don't really.
Yeah.
You see them. You see one run across the street and jump into someone's yard. That's what you see. So if you were to call somebody to come out, it could be 2 miles away by it. It's just not even a
but
thing.
But they would know that they're in that neighborhood.
Oh, they know it's in the neighborhood. There's nothing they can do about
it. Yeah, if you live by any hills, you have coyotes in your neighborhood.
Everywhere. Yeah. And it sucks.
And there are lots of animals that are pests, though, in the neighborhood. I mean, would you hit a raccoon if you saw a raccoon, if they're a pain in your ass, too?
No, not just pain in the ass. Killing pets is what did it for me. That's what put me over the top, is that you're killing the pet of some little kid, and I have kids, little girls, some little girl's pet on the front yard. I mean, that's a horrible thing.
All right.
So coyote versus that pet, coyote goes.
Let's take a couple of calls. 1-800-520-1067. It looks like Colleen's not quite screeched. How about Mike in Cyprus? Line 3, please, us going here on the Kevin Opinion Show.
Hey, Mike. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
What do you think? Kevin was in a tough spot. He's behind the wheel of the car. He has the opportunity, he thinks, to help, but he would also feel bad about it. What do you think?
Well, I kind of had a funny story with my grandma losing a cat to a coyote. So she had my grandpa sit outside to try to shoot the coyote.
Uh-huh.
And my grandpa ended up shooting her other cat that was in the bush.
All right. Grandpa putting in good work.
Grandpa.
We were talking about pets, not cats, Mike.
Cats count, by the way. It's devastating to lose any pet.
Coyote, but I don't know what he saw, but he blew half a cat in half.
Oh, I don't think we need to hear the details
of
that.
Grandpa loose with the gun.
Was Grandma putting out Grandpa as bait for this coyote? I'm a little bit concerned about sending an old man into that. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Ouch, right?
That was a little troubling.
Let's go to line one. Let's see what Colleen from Fullerton wants to weigh in with here on the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, Colleen.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, you know, biologists have shown that coyotes are so adaptable that if you kill them within one generation, their litters are bigger. So actually killing them doesn't really solve the problem.
So it's better they adapt and have more kids.
What does solve the problem?
Wow.
What does solve the problem?
Making the environment not hospitable to them. Keep their dogs and cats inside. Keep their food inside. That kind of thing.
Yeah, you do that, though, and it's not enough.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, it's not enough.
That's why they survive. They're everywhere. They're in Manhattan.
They are
everywhere.
I mean,
they're really survivable. They're like large, you know, cockroaches.
Yes, they
they're
are.
They're just really adaptable.
Yes, they are.
But, I mean, I think you can keep your dogs inside or go outside with your dogs, right?
Right. That's what happens 99% of the time. And my dog is still alive because of that.
Right.
But you can't – no, you're not going to make a mistake ever.
You don't want the population to get bigger, though.
No.
I'm not sure I'm buying that science,
and maybe this is just a good way to remind people there are leash laws. I know how great it is to go hiking with your dog and let your dog roam all over the place. Your dog is going to go after a coyote, and that coyote is not going to back down. Put a leash on your dog. Let's help out our doggies as well.
Thank you for the call, Colleen. We appreciate it. All right. Please put Scott. Can we put Scott on hold, Santa Fe Springs? He's line 8 up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We just got a couple more minutes on this. 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Your advice for Kevin's neighbors.
Question.
Yes.
We were talking about rodents.
I'm sorry, your phone's cutting in and out. We were talking about what?
Rodents.
Rodents, yes.
Yeah, so what is a 3-pound dog?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry to say, but I would say a 3-pound dog is the rodent.
I mean, I don't feel like that's true because it's an actual dog, not
a
rodent.
Scott has a good point.
It's suggesting you upgrade your pet.
Get
is what
a real
he said.
Dog, Kevin.
Yeah.
Gabriel Iglesias, Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana, and Mike Realm.
You're just naming people now.
Are all on the bill at the 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets go on sale Friday 10 at noon.
Mm-hmm. 10 a.m.
Which means Friday 10 a.m.
Access.com, right.
Right. But we're going to give a pair away next. We're looking for your punchlines. Not your jokes. Jokes always suck. People can't tell jokes. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but people cannot tell jokes.
It's hilarious when you consider we're giving away tickets to an evening of people telling jokes.
So a guy goes into a bar with his priest. No, wait. So a guy goes in and you start over and over. And we don't need that. We just want the
sickle.
The punchline alone. Right. So 1-800-520-1067. We'll play that game just after. What's happening?
So the tapeworm stuck its head out of the guy's ass and said, "Where's my damn lemon cookie?"
That's how it's done, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it's done. All right, Allie, you're up.
Do you remember me telling you about a new CBS drama coming? It's called Murder. I was in just with the name. But then when I found out what it's about, it's going to detail various crimes through the perspectives of cops and killers, witnesses and victims, friends and family. And then it invites the audience to judge who's guilty or innocent on each case.
And then the what the audience says goes?
We call in a vote. No. I just thought that was such an interesting spin on a cop drama, essentially. Well, we now know who is going to be the lead. He's an old law enforcement guy who then gets paired up with a female rookie partner to help him solve cases. It only makes sense. Not Fergie. Not Fergie at all. Any other guesses?
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
Oh, he would be good. It is not Jason Bourne.
Zac Efron.
Not Zac Efron. No. But it
Bobo.
It is not Bobo. It should be Bobo. Happy birthday. It is actually a man that has played a cop many, many times.
Ladies and gentlemen, Barry Manilow.
I know that he's played a cop.
I have not seen that, but I'd be willing to watch.
Jesus
is not going to be starring in Murder.
Okay.
I think the black guy, I forgot what his name is.
Nope, it is indeed not a black guy, but it is a white guy.
Okay.
He's bald.
It's Jed the Fish.
It is not Jed. It's not bald.
And he's played a cop a bunch.
A bunch. Most recently on Gotham, but probably most well known for The Shield.
Chicky Baby.
Michael Chiklis.
Yay!
Yay!
I think that's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
Him as a cop, that's just built in goodness right there.
I believe he's a real cop.
I don't think
he's
he
not.
Is.
Really? You just seen him as a cop so much?
He's an actor.
Believable.
Yeah.
Right. His roles.
He's just an actor. And if you love the show Wayward Pines and you were super excited when they said on the Critics Press Tour earlier this year that it's probably coming back.
Right?
No, it is not.
Oh, it's
Fox
not.
Has canceled its M. Night Shyamalan series Wayward Pines after 2 seasons. So sorry about that, guys. Hate to be the bearer of bad news.
I think that's probably okay.
Is it?
I think
okay.
So.
Did you guys see Stacey Dash trending yesterday
I
on
did.
Twitter?
I don't know why.
Well, the former Clueless actress and Fox News contributor is running for Congress as a Republican in California's 44th congressional district. She filed paperwork, and a lot of people were saying 44th district. Come on, really? What do you know about Watts and Compton and Linwood and North Long Beach? People are really going after her because she is a Republican and she is an African-American woman. People were like, none of this adds up. But she tweeted, formal statements coming, but for those mocking for the district I live in, open your minds. It's time for me to put up or shut up, and I want to serve great people. I live in the 44th, unlike some who don't live in their districts. Thank you to those who offered their support. Listen, if you want to do good in your community and you think you can, regardless of what party you belong to, good for you.
I felt bad for her yesterday when I saw so many headlines referring to her as a clueless actress.
Yeah.
I felt like they could have maybe put some parentheses around
it. No, it just said clueless actress Stacey Dash. And I thought, wow, that's a completely different meaning when you don't know they're talking about the movie she was in.
Not nice. How much would you guys pay for some scribbles from Drake? And by scribbles, literally just a little diary, maybe some lyrics, credit card numbers, autographs with his given name, which is Aubrey Graham. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. No. Well, apparently an old notebook has been found in a furniture factory where Drake's grandfather worked, and it's now up for grabs at momentsintime.com. Right now, it's just going to set you back $54,000.
What? I'm sorry, what?
What? It has to be a typo. I mean, maybe $54? Maybe?
I don't even want that item.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't bid on it.
You guys, Kevin doesn't want it. Take it down. Momentsintime.com.
Move on without me.
Kevin is a no, in case you were wondering. That's just good stuff. And speaking of money, Kevin Federline wants to be paid accordingly. He sent his ex-wife, Britney Spears, a letter back on the 22nd requesting more money to take care of their 2 sons. How much do you think a month he's been getting paid all these years?
How much a month?
To take care of little Sean Preston and Jaden James.
Aren't those kids like out of college by now? How old are they?
I think so. I think they're probably 10.
In their early
11.
40s.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's odd. I'm going to say $15,000.
Okay. Bean?
I will say 25. We're talking about a month, right?
Let's meet in the middle. 20 grand per month right now. But that number was decided on way back during her going through breakdown days. And long before she nabbed that gig in Vegas that pays her over $15 million a year. So obviously, if she's working her ass off, shouldn't he be entitled to that money? What? That's not how any of this works.
Wow. No.
No.
No, she should keep that money. She's earning it.
Yeah, and I'm sure she's taking care of the kids well enough on her own as well.
We're not positive about that, but we think
I'm not positive. Yeah, but 20 grand a month. I think
you got to put food on the table.
I mean. You really do. Good Lord. Who's cooking that food? Some birthdays for you. Singer Josh Groban, actress Kate Mara, and Chili from TLC, and that's what's happening.
Our friend Mike Catherwood is thinking about dumping his smartphone. Just getting a flip phone or a brick phone. He's talking about yesterday walking around getting one of those Zach Morris phones. I don't know if he's going to go that far. Can he do it? Can he wean himself away from social media and everything else that you do on your smartphone? We're going to discuss coming up in minutes here on KROQ. First, though, time to give away the very first pair of tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Our 10th annual show is just announced yesterday, Saturday, March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. unbelievable lineup. Gabriel Iglesias and Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garlin, Sarah Tiana, and music by DJ Mike Rum. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Access.com, or you can win them right now with a game that we call simply Punchline.
Punchline, punchline, punchline. Yeah! Punchline, punchline, punchline. Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray. Don't be stupid or you will get dissed. You won't get into it for foolishness.
All right, punchlines only. You guys ready?
Now, how do we do this? Do we pick the funniest one that we want to hear the joke for? Do we do a drawing?
Why don't we ever have this discussion off the air?
We should.
Let's pick the one we want to hear. We can't not hear the joke.
Yeah, the punchline is so intriguing that we insist on hearing the joke. Yes. And you know, when we've done this in the past, oftentimes the joke has been very disappointing.
That's correct.
So we are setting ourselves up for failure as always. But at least somebody will win tickets to the show, so there is a winner.
All right. Let's start with, is it Jorge?
Yes.
Yes, hi. From Downey.
Yes.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Give us just the punchline.
Okay, here it goes. Then you're doing it wrong.
Then you're doing it wrong.
Mm.
Okay, very good, Jorge. Please hold on.
Let's go to Steve in Azusa. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, thank you. Punchline only, please.
The more you play with it, the harder it gets.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hold on.
My mom told me that one once.
Juan in Newport Beach. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi there. Punchline only, please.
And a mop.
Tickled him.
He can't control himself. And a mop.
All right. Let's go to Andrew in Claremont. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Punchline only, please.
The punchline is, it runs in your genes.
It runs in your genes. Okay.
All right. More questions than answers so far. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to line six and say hi to Pat in Redondo Beach. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Punchline only, please.
I'd buy a new butt. Mine has a crack in it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Hold on. Let's go to Danielle in Linwood. Hi.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. The punchline is a small, medium, at large.
A small, medium, at large.
Okay.
I feel that that's a very punny joke, Kevin.
All right. Hold on. Let's go to Jorge in Santa Ana. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hello.
Punchline only, please.
Because the P is silent.
Because the P is silent.
Okay. All right. You've given us a lot to think about here.
Yeah.
Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Access.com. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 10th anniversary show. Proceeds to local charities. Someone's going to win the first pair of tickets. Oh, we have one more late-breaking punchline?
Oh, do we? Okay.
Line five.
Let's go to Robert and Reseda. Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. What's the punchline?
It is, the mushroom says to the bartender, but I'm a fun guy. I'm a fun guy.
I feel like that's the whole joke. But okay, thank you. All right. I'm not going to lie when I tell you, and a mop has been stuck in my head. That's
and
where I'm leaning.
How much it tickled him. Like, it can't
still
live up to that, can it?
There's no possible way it'll be that funny.
What do you think, Kevin?
And a mop?
Are you all right with and a mop?
I like and a mop, and I also liked his delivery.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to say Juan is our winner. Now, we have to decide before we go to him. No matter how bad the joke is, Juan has accomplished the task at hand. He gave us a punchline we liked, right?
But is that the case? What if the joke sucks?
I think we still got to give it to
him. They usually do, but you give it to him.
Let's change it up right now
and say we don't
Juan has won the tickets. Juan, congratulations. You're going to join us at April Foolishness, okay?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Who are you most excited to see on the lineup that night?
Fluffy.
Yeah, Fluffy. Why not? March 31st, Microsoft Theater. All right, we got the punchline and the mop. Now, do we want to hear the joke?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you tell it on the air?
You want to hear the joke.
Yes, can you tell it on the air, though, Juan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Clean as a whistle. All right. So a skeleton walks into a bar and goes up to the bartender and says, "Let me get a beer and a mop."
Yeah! I love Juan so much.
It wasn't even that good of a joke. No.
It's his laugh.
But he loved it so much.
Fantastic.
All right, Juan, we're looking forward to hanging out with you. March 31st at the Microsoft Theater for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. Thanks a lot for listening, buddy, all right?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Punchline, punchline, punchline. Yeah! Punchline, punchline, punchline.
All right, why do you want to roll back to the 1990s in your digital life here, Michael?
Because I feel like my smartphone is really taking away from my quality of life.
How?
I was at the car wash the other day, and I was mindlessly looking at my phone while I waited for my car to come out. And I realized not that long ago, I used to just sit and think about stuff. There was plenty of time throughout the day where I'd be going to the bathroom, or I'd be at the car wash, or I'd be walking down the street. And I'd just be letting my brain go places and think. And I don't do that anymore because I'm constantly...
But that seems like that's the perfect use of a smartphone, is when you're bored, waiting, and you've got nothing to do.
I feel like a certain level of boredom opens up the doors for kind of letting your mind be a little free, and it's actually probably good for you. I don't think we're supposed to be occupied, have our brain occupied 100% of the time.
You can't have constant input without having any time for digestion and reflection,
and,
is what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah, and I make a real conscious effort when I'm with my daughter to put my phone away, so I'm not mm-hmm. even tempted. And I've noticed that I'm a little happier during those moments. Now, obviously,
that's
that could be...
because your daughter's there.
I could be with my family, and you know, that you know kicks in the happiness, but... there's just something about it, and I got this euphoric kind of recall to the days when I just existed as opposed to being constantly connected. Now,
Allie, shut up.
Sorry.
I will agree that – thank you, Caesar. I will agree that it definitely adds to my quality of life a lot of time, my smartphone.
Okay,
you know,
yes.
When I want to research something and I constantly have a PC in my pocket, that's amazing.
That is amazing, right.
But I just feel like the bad outweighs the good, and I'm really seriously contemplating getting rid of it and getting just a phone where I can make phone calls and send texts.
Look, I think this is an outstanding discussion that everybody should have.
Where will you find all of the horrific stuff that you text people?
Thought about it. I have a computer and I have an iPad, and believe me, they're as good, if not better, at finding horrible, horrible things.
So you're still going to be spending time online. You just won't do it portably. You'll just do it when you're home, and that's the time you've carved out to be a guy on the internet.
Naturally, with what I do for a living, I mean, I definitely have to be connected somewhat.
Yeah, you need to stay current, right. Keep up with
but,
the news, right?
I just don't feel like I have to have it with me all the time.
I will tell you this, that when you forget your phone, that's when you realize how much you use it. Because
right.
I forgot my phone at home one day, and I was just like, I need to check on this. Oh, I should do that. Oh, and it's all different things, and you go to mm-hmm. your pocket, it's not there.
Yeah, you go to your calendar, then you want to go to the weather, and then you want directions to somewhere.
And you've already gone to your pocket six times, and you go, when will I learn? I left my phone at home. But it's always something different.
And I thought about, what do I do for directions? I used to deliver auto parts in the 90s as a high school kid. That was fine. You know,
yeah,
the Thomas Guide. It worked. Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the updated Thomas Guide, are you?
Yeah, I don't even know if they sell them anymore.
I assume they don't.
Poor Thomas. But my point being is that I figured out a way to live 25 years without a smartphone, perfectly fine.
But, Mike, you could make the same argument that you used to live before there was microwaves, and you used to live before banks had ATMs. And
right.
There's lots of things that have been invented in your lifetime that are just conveniences. That
make life better, I think.
Yeah, that you wouldn't roll back.
Sometimes, and then but I've analyzed all of those conveniences, and the idea of living a more minimalistic and, you know, an austere lifestyle is very appealing. And I think the phone ranks right at the top of things that I could get rid of. And
then
maybe
the car? Then you're going to walk everywhere?
If I could, man.
With
if
a walking
I could.
Stick and a beard?
Didn't Rogan go through this phase where he just wanted to go live in the woods
yes.
in Colorado and like
and
be cut
did.
Off from yeah. civilization?
He did that.
He moved
catch
to,
his own food.
He
yeah.
moved to a remote part of the mountains of Colorado, and Mrs. Rogan eventually said, oh, that ain't going to happen.
This is, oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah.
She,
exactly
she
what happened.
She put the kibosh on it. Look, I will tell you that this is an interesting topic, and I'd be curious to hear if our listeners have addressed this in their own lives, or if they have some advice for Mike, at 1-800-520-1067. Same number to call or text. It is interesting that in the 20
people
years...
People don't have a smartphone, probably can't text you, though.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Good point. It is interesting, though, that smartphones are relatively recent in our history, in the history of humans, we've only had smartphones for, you know, a quarter of a second,
yes,
right?
But isn't it?
But
isn't it surprising that you can't remember before smartphones?
Yes, it has. I believe, honestly, I think it has rewired our brains to what Mike is talking about, is to expect and require that constant interaction and stimulation in a way that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
The brain has many. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
I would, if I was sitting at a car wash, I would chat with the person next to me. I would think about some random stuff, do whatever. But you're right. You instantly and instinctually go to your phone. So it's not only your whole creativity is blocked. You're now missing out on just basic human connection throughout the day.
Yeah.
Every single day. That adds up. And it's I think it's done a doozy on us as a people.
It's done a doozy, has it?
You heard me.
There is no question that if you look at a picture
Kevin.
Anywhere where people gather, whether it's at a sporting event before it starts, or at the airport, or at the supermarket or whatever, everybody is looking at their phones.
Yeah.
Every single person is looking at their phones. No one is talking to anyone. That is true.
I will give my wife credit too, that we're not that family. Like when we're out to dinner or we're in public, she gives me that look and we're like, look, let's be a family, not robots connected.
Yeah.
So there, I've already.
So you text her and you say, okay,
yeah,
when you
got it. I promise. Click, click, click. So there already is some kind of there's motivation to kind of continue that further, because I have noticed that when we make those conscious decisions, that I benefit. I mean, for instance, I was watching Annihilation. I went to the theater to see Annihilation.
Yes.
And I was halfway through the movie recognizing how much more I enjoy the movie experience in a theater, because I'm not constantly looking at Twitter and checking up the IMDb of the movie while I'm watching the movie, which is exactly what I do at home when I'm watching Netflix or iTunes or something.
That makes sense. Is it possible you could have a smartphone and just be more deliberate with it and exercise some self-control and not use it as much, but still have it and use it when you want to need it?
It's certainly a possibility. I haven't made my decision yet, but I was very intrigued by the Viking ship theory, which is the Vikings would sail to a new land that they were going to conquer, and they would burn their ships. So, listen, we're either dying here or we're taking it over.
Okay.
And I feel like I just need to just jettison the phone if I'm going to make this kind of tremendous transition.
Let's gamble on how long it's going to take Mike to get the phone back. Let's gamble on that.
Oh,
Once
he gets – oh, I see.
Yes, if he actually does it, let's take bets on when he's going to get his phone back. Because
I can see – Mike seems like a guy – look, Mike is a recovering addict. He has stick-to-itiveness. If he sets his mind to something, I think Mike can accomplish it. I think he could go as long as he wanted to go without it.
But he also has an addictive personality.
Right?
So.
Right? And he also adores porn on his phone. Hey, let's talk to a couple people before the break. Let me give me some line two here. Let's go to Fabiola. Monterey Park. I have a standard rule in my life. I accept all advice from anyone named Fabiola.
It's one of my favorite names.
Eager to hear what he or she has to say. Hey, Fabiola.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. So you did this?
I completely cut myself off of the internet, and I went as far as canceling my text message service.
Damn.
Just because I felt like I was so dependent on my phone. So I send out, a mass text before I did it, and I said, hey, I'm cutting myself off internet. You can't reach me on Facebook, Instagram, and you can't even text me. So if you still want to be my friend, you're going to have to press that call button.
And everybody's like, nope. No, thank you.
Oh, yeah. I lost a lot of friends.
All right.
Most of us keep in touch
with our friends digitally.
Correct. Yeah. So I also, though, felt like I was so much more relaxed and stress-free because I wasn't so dependent on this device in my pocket and constantly pulling it out and checking to see who's calling me, who's texting me.
And you didn't have all those messy friends.
Correct, yeah.
Cluttering things up, right?
But how do you know who to hate minute by minute if you're not connected to the internet?
That's a good point.
Now
you know who your friends are.
Yeah, that's
right.
Probably
so
very
Fabiola,
eye-opening.
So it's gone and that's permanent? You're good?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely decreased my stress. I felt a lot more relaxed. So it made a big difference.
Happy she sounds.
Yeah, and hot.
Because we're the first people she's talked to in like 3 weeks.
That's true. Fabiola, thank you for listening.
I'm excited to talk to you guys.
We appreciate it as well.
Thanks, Fabiola.
Megan writes in from San Dimas. My husband just turned in his iPhone for a basic flip phone for the same reasons, Mike, and he loves it. He loves not having the urge to look at his phone all of the time. Sounds like that's what you're hoping for you if you do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you pointed out that I'm in recovery, and certainly I've had to come to grips with a world that has drugs and alcohol. But in the beginning, you know, it wasn't like I was going buying a six-pack and just keeping it in my fridge just in case.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll just reduce my temptation a little bit and see how this goes. I started things off by making a clean break.
Yeah, this isn't Mike getting rid of internet and everything. Right. He's still going to have it at home. He can still look things up. It's just not that instantaneous. I have to look at
something
right now.
He's
going to
be one of those annoying people at concerts that takes pictures with his iPad, though. That's going to be him.
That might happen.
Oh, no.
All right, Mike, are you prepared for some more advice from our listeners?
Absolutely.
All right. All right. If you've been there, done that, or you've got advice for Mike, either way, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to voice call us or to text us. Either one, and we'll get back to you right after this on K-Rock.
All right. Just head to My Chemical Romance. Let's take one phone call. Let's make it Eric in Linwood. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
You're going to weigh in on this conversation. Mike Catherwood is just going all Amish on us and thinking about getting rid of his smartphone. What say you?
Well, I did that. I disabled everything on my phone. I took off the games, the internet and all that. And I'm more focused on family and everything else around me.
Would that work, Mike?
I think it would.
I think that would work?
I feel like Allie brought that up during the break, but I don't know. I just...
But maybe
it was my point, actually. No, I'm sorry, Allie. I'm not going to give you any credit.
I swear to God, this place. What if you just disabled everything except for music? Because that's essentially what you want, and that's it.
The music and the camera. I mean, the camera comes up big, especially if, like, Rudy wants to make a video. Or I'm going to film...
Rudy should get a phone, then.
I'm going to film Kevin spray painting things. You know, like, it's nice to have a high-def camera all the time. That's it. No, it's a great idea. It is. It's an alternative.
Thank you, Eric, for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. More calls after My Chemical Romance. Can you live without the smartphone? Is that possible?
Probably not.
I went out to breakfast on Sunday morning, and I sat at a table next to a couple who seemed to me to have been married for a long time. And both of them were on their phones the entire time they were there at the restaurant. I don't know that they said 5 words to each other the entire time. Look, they waited for, then consumed their meal, and then left.
In that case, it's possible that the smartphone is saving their marriage.
It is possible, yes.
Because they don't have to talk to each other.
I just was so surprised. I was kind of watching out of the corner of my eye. I saw them each on their individual smartphones opposite each other on the table, and I thought, well, surely when the food arrives, they're going to put the phones away, and they're going to have breakfast together, right? Didn't happen. Whatever they were watching or reading, they just kept on doing through the whole meal.
That's phone cuckolding.
It kind of is. So if you're just joining us, Mike, why don't you reset where we're at, and then we'll take some more calls.
I am seriously considering getting rid of my smartphone. I feel like it's taking away from my quality of life. I'm constantly, you know, monitoring things and connected to this stream of information that I don't think is necessarily healthy. I'm going to get a flip phone or a brick phone, like you pointed out earlier, Bean. I think I'm going straight Zach Morris.
Yeah,
straight
Zach, right? To.
I like it.
Can we go to, I think this sounds interesting, Darla in Orange. She is on line 4. She has tried an experiment like this with her kids and has interesting results to report. Hey, Darla, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. Long time listener.
Thank you. So tell us what's going on in your house.
Well, I have 2 boys, teenage, and at times when they would get in trouble, we would take their phones away. And not even realizing it, if even we took it away for a week, I would tell my husband, man, they're just more pleasant. They're nicer. We have simple conversations. They just seem happier. They're in the living room with us more.
And it's
a
direct correlation to them not having their phones.
I feel like it was because
that's
it was such night and day.
How about that?
I would imagine for kids that age, it's hard. I mean,
that must be the worst punishment ever.
Yeah,
you can't think of anything worse than taking their phones away, right? That's why you did it.
That's why you did it. Yeah,
that's why we did. But I'll tell you, same thing when you guys were talking about the music. My one son just loved music, and that was his argument. Well, what about my music? You know, I want to listen to it. You know, that was his big argument.
That's a big argument, but that's a valid argument.
Yeah.
It was, and so I considered that, but you know what he did is
he turned on his radio in his room.
Oh, well, that's just rude.
What
Darla,
is this piece of machinery you speak of? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Darla. Let's
that's
go to
really
Laura.
That's really interesting, though.
Yeah,
to
it
see
is,
it
right?
that instantly.
Night and day, yeah.
That's wow. incredible.
Line 7, please. Claremont. This is going to be Laura. She wants to weigh in here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Laura. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
No worries.
I know I'm aging myself. Well, then again, I'm not with the times. It drives my family crazy and some of my girlfriends. But I've never, ever gotten involved. I've never done any form of social media.
Never so, Facebook? Nothing?
No, I'm really bad with technology anyway. I've got my phone, and I'm good with that. And sometimes I tell my husband, oh, I just get a little phone so the kids have to get a hold of me. Or, well, what if you need to email somebody? I'm all, well, okay, that kind of forces me. If it's a business, I have to respond. But I'm very rare. But my son got a hold of my phone recently and put him and our daughter and my husband on the whole Snapchat thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm really bad with that, too. So, and I rarely ever do that.
So you just can't do it.
I'm like, what? And, you know, I'm a very private person, and I have actually girlfriends that says the best thing I did was never got involved in Facebook. I'm like, no, I'm private. And I don't want to be, I know it sounds very harsh, but I don't really care about other people's business. And, hey, I'm here and I'm there, or they don't need to know what I'm doing. So for everyone out there, do yourself a favor, because I kind of saw it coming, like, okay, what's all this Facebook about? And I'm hearing gossip, people, you know, people gossiping around me, family, friends, and I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, why do you even care? Seriously, we didn't have a phone before. It comes in handy. It's convenient. Me, I'm talking to you.
It's so interesting to hear Laura talk that way about Facebook, which is the most, you know, the most successful company in the world, essentially, right? It's the biggest social media thing on the planet. A lot of people can't imagine not having Facebook, and you've never, ever, ever even gotten into it and don't think you missed anything.
God is my witness, and I've had girlfriends that say, Laura, this was years ago, the best thing you could have done is you've never, ever done that. And they all know I'm really bad with technology.
Sure, they just didn't want to muddle through what you were trying to put up. Exactly, you're a nightmare, right? All right, thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate
this,
that.
Regarding Facebook, I haven't been on in a year.
Yeah.
Haven't missed a second of Facebook.
That's one plus for me doing this, is that I never use Facebook. I'll connect pictures off of Instagram to my Facebook account,
right?
But I honestly can't remember the last time I went to Facebook to look at stuff.
I was telling you guys off the air that I delete the Twitter and the Instagram when I go on vacation a lot of times. Do you have enough self-control to do that permanently?
Absolutely,
you do.
I mean, especially on vacation, because that's amplified
family time. No, but I'm saying you're talking
time.
About giving that stuff up anyway. If you were able, if you had the self-discipline to do that and not engage in social, you know, networking, then you probably would be
That really does sound like a real comfortable middle ground, because then also I have the technology of, say, an iPhone camera.
Right.
And the music storage without having to deal with.
But did a cool thing really happen if you didn't put it on Instagram afterwards?
No. And I actually end up sometimes regretting putting so much stuff on Instagram, because a lot of it's based around my family. And I think to myself, like, my daughter's brain is 3 years old. She may say, oh, yeah, it's a cool picture. I don't really get her approval because her brain's like a grape. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do I know in 20 years she's going to look back and be like, why would you post that? That's me as a kid doing A, B, and C. So I do have regrets more so than I have positive feelings about a lot of the stuff that I post when it comes to pictures. Besides Catherwooding.
Sure. It sounds like you need to go do some work on yourself, my friend.
Okay.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52. I'm so outraged by this. It's just been made to my attention that somebody spray painted one of the vans in the parking lot here at K-Rock. Somebody vandalized one of the vans.
That would not happen.
Mm-mm.
And I think we need to get to the bottom of that and maybe name a perpetrator if there is, in fact, video.
Kev Dog.
I did a hashtag Kev Dog on it.
Did you really?
Kevin spray painted a van in the parking lot that is now apparently the official Kevin and Bean van because, as you said, ownership is 9/10 of the law, I think you said, right?
I think that's what I said, yeah. So I'm not positive I said that correctly, though.
We will discuss and talk about how the new Kevin and Bean advertising campaign is taking off right now. You can't get away from us. We're everywhere. First, though, Allie's got what's happening here on this Tuesday morning.
I do agree with the people, though, that did tweet in, email in, text in, that Kevin's penmanship is astoundingly good with spray paint. Like, that, it's not easy for it not to look kind of drippy and bad. You straight up look like a pro out there tagging stuff.
I mean, I've had, you know.
What?
I've had history. You don't know me. You don't know everything I've done.
You don't pour cereal.
You don't pour my cereal.
I've had history. Really? That's where you went.
That's why I come up with the moment.
I've had history.
But you should look at, like, I'm looking at Kevin's notebook right now. Uh-huh. And his pen, like, in pencil, illegible.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's because I'm writing fast.
It's my concern. How are you so good at tagging? But now that I know, you've had history.
Right?
All right, got it.
Thank you.
Consequence of Sound put out an article that Smashing Pumpkins reunion tour, not selling so hot, apparently.
I wondered how that would do.
Not selling so hot, really, at all. Chicago, where they're from, that one is almost sold out, so that's good. But they posted these tweets from a Twitter user named Solus, who points out that there's a number of markets where the majority of seats are still available. So this guy went through and the maps of every arena clicked on, took a picture of those maps and shows where the seats are available.
Why would he do that?
A work.
Yes, it is.
I don't know. But apparently St. Paul, Sioux Falls, Salt Lake City, Pittsburgh, Omaha, and Detroit all have an overwhelming number of seats open if you want to go. But again, Chicago nearly sold out, and New York City and Glendale, where the tour is scheduled to kick off on July 7th, a lot of tickets still available in those two cities as well. So Consequence of Sound was saying they can't help but wonder, maybe was it ousting their bassist Darcy Wretzky that rubbed people the wrong way? Or is it the fact that they're playing at venues that are huge, so you're not going to sell those out right away anyway?
Yeah.
And some places, tickets are going for as much as $500 each.
Whoa.
Wow. Which is insanity. But it also might explain why Billy Corgan has been reaching out to fans via social media, asking them to help build the tour set list. So kind of engaging, getting people more involved, getting people more excited about the show. So who knows? But really, all I know is I want as much time as that dude, Solus, who's just going to different venues and finding out how many seats are sold.
He does have a lot of time.
Do you think it's Darcy?
Possible.
Do you think, like, suck it, Billy? I don't know, but it's all very, very strange. Also strange, I saw this yesterday and thought, what's going on? So we found out yesterday that Kevin Smith had a massive heart attack, lucky to be alive, basically 100% blockage in one of the arteries, which is known, it's called the Widowmaker. This is a huge deal.
That's scary.
So glad that he left. He was taping a comedy special, left the second show. Had he not, the doctors were like, you'd be dead. Not a good situation.
And that's a guy who doesn't walk away from a crowd ever, ever.
Oh, no. And that guy's work ethic is just unparalleled. But the lovely man, Chris Pratt, wound up going to Twitter and saying, Kevin, we don't know each other too good, but I've loved you since Clerks, and I'm praying my ass off for you because I believe in the healing power of prayer. Can you please pray with me, people? And then the little emoji for the prayer hands and a heart emoji. Well, people then went to Twitter, and some were mad that he said praying your ass off. Like, why would you say prayer and a cuss word? That's crazy. Okay, those people just, come on, enough. But then other people were getting all up in his stuff saying, oh, prayer, oh, thoughts and prayers. Don't you know that that doesn't work? That's a whole thing now. What, are you so out of the loop? And it's just insane.
Yeah, that's crazy, because most of the time when that is attacked, thoughts and prayers, it's a huge, like, some type of, a lot of people die. Is there something people can do for them?
Yes.
And in this case, there's nothing you can do for Kevin Smith.
No, which James Gunn, the director, came to his aid. He knew he didn't have to, but he wanted to make sure people were understanding the whole thing with thoughts and prayers. He said, there's nothing wrong with sending someone positive thoughts and prayers, but when it's coupled with inaction, when action will benefit the situation, it's empty. Meaning when politicians say, oh, thoughts and prayers, when it's another school shooting, but then they do nothing in terms of figuring out how to stop this or how to put an end to the aspects of getting guns, all that. That didn't make much sense, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the same with earthquakes and everything else. If a place needs help, they need action, not thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely.
They need both.
Absolutely. So it just made me laugh that James Gunn was like, let me get on in here. And he did make me laugh because he said, it's not like anyone expected Chris Pratt to shoulder doctors out of the way and perform heart surgery on Kevin Smith, nor does Kevin need Chris to pay his medical bills. So I think his prayers are appreciated and about all he can do. And I thought it was lovely as well that he went on to say, listen, I wouldn't be where I was without prayer and meditation on my own end. So let's not write off prayers and what helps people just because that's like the thing to say immediately.
Right.
Oh, thoughts and prayers. Which I think is a nice thing to see because, as Bean mentioned earlier, people are so quick to poop on any sort of religion or prayers when they could just be cynical and awful about it.
Yeah, true. And it's really nice when somebody is taking a beating that doesn't deserve it for somebody else to step in and say,
absolutely,
hey, everyone, this rethink
chill out.
That. Yeah.
Chill out. And again, if Chris Pratt wants to pray for me.
You're good with that?
Yes. Huh? And
or
a lot of times,
you.
I prefer hands-on prayer.
Right.
So Chris Pratt, if you're listening, I am down for some prayer.
Right, I know. Ellie's pointing again.
All right.
Doesn't come across on
we
the radio, really.
We see it.
All of these
we
stars.
Know where it is.
Born today, February 27th, singer Josh Groban, actress Kate Mara, and Chili from TLC, and that's what's happening.
All right, short version of the story is K-Rock, for some reason, decided when they finally got a little bit of money based on the parent company being sold to a company called Entercom and decided to advertise, that Kevin and Bean would not be part of that advertising. Now, I wasn't in the meeting, but
none of us were.
I'm not really sure how that decision was made, but needless to say, we were excluded from Chicken Cutlet Night. So we thought, hey, let's take it upon ourselves, and then the most incredible thing happened. You, the fine Kevin and Bean listeners, started taking it upon yourselves and posting signs and banners and post-it notes and artwork all over the place.
Which is awesome.
Which is so awesome. I know we keep saying this and we sound like darn fools, but I mean, just, you know, yesterday seeing everything from that guy who put up a sign in a storage facility in Seattle to advertise the show.
I mean, you know,
I'm sure that's going to bring a lot of new people in to the person who held up the sign at WWE Raw that got on television. I mean, everybody.
Cool.
Everybody is doing their part, and we're trying to do our part, too. We've had Dave working, as you know, behind the scenes. We got the janky artwork. We just needed someplace to put it. But we think, and it sounds like Dave was telling us today, that we found a billboard location that we can take over, and that might be, like, within the next week.
Right?
We might have our first and only Kevin and Bean billboard up there. All right. So now, let's move on. Phase two, Kevin. Oh, excuse me. Should I call you Shaka? What did you and Mike Catherwood do in the parking lot in the middle of the night the other night?
I mean, there's a van in the parking lot for the sound, and that's a radio station that this company used to own but sold.
All right.
It is now flipped from classic rock, which it used to play, to it's a religious station now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a van in the parking lot for the sound.
Why aren't they using that van to spread the good word?
I don't know, but they're not, and we don't own them anymore. So
right.
I spray painted a very beautiful job of spray painting mm-hmm. Kevin and Bean on the van and claimed it for us.
So
now we have a van, Bean.
Okay, I appreciate that we have a van. How was it decided that you were going to, hey, nobody's been driving that van for the last month, so it's ours? Like, legally, in your mind, how does that work?
It's not so much a legal thing, is it looks super janky, and I mm-hmm. think I ruined it for mm-hmm. everyone else. Like, who would want that?
Right.
Oh, I see.
Because there's paint all over it. So, basically, it's a piece of crap that I painted on.
All right.
I thought I did a really good job. This is Psycho Mike coming and finding me painting the van.
Kevin's never here this early.
What are you doing?
Hey, Mike. Look, this is genius. This is a van for the sound.
Yes.
Our company used to own.
Yes.
The sound no longer exists. It's like a religious station or something.
Okay.
So what are they going to do with the van?
I guess have you spray painted?
They're going to turn it into the Kevin and Bean van.
That's
great
actually,
idea, right?
Actually, it's a great idea.
Remember the early settlers in America when they would go, they'd stake their flag and then they would own that land?
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing right now. Remember when MTV, for the moon, they put the flag on the moon?
Yes. MTV landed on the moon, right.
So the idea is, the first ever Kevin and Bean van.
Don't you think we could have a pro do that?
Like I'm not?
It's a valid argument.
I mean, look at this. It's genius. Ownership is 9/10 of the law, or whatever that is.
I'm not positive I got that right.
It's close.
Is ownership?
It's possession.
I think it's possession.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
enough.
You possess the van.
Right? So I make it hideous. For us, it's beautiful.
All right. Yes.
What did you, besides overpainting where it says 100.3 the sound and then spray painting Kevin and Bean, what other adjustments did you make to the paint job?
I put hashtag KevDog. I also blocked out some of the letters. It said Southern California's classic rock,
mm-hmm.
and now it says Southern California's ass rock.
Yeah.
Oh. So I put that in there.
All right.
Allie, don't encourage
I'm
him.
Sorry.
Come on.
Gene, for God's sake. Right, Jim? Right.
What is ass rock?
Come on.
It's
why I'm working with what's on the man, for God's sakes. What do you want from me? You can only spell so many words out of that.
Middle of the night, Bean. Don't have it.
I'm the one out there doing the work. You're going to criticize me from the comfort of your own home.
That's an excellent point. All right. So the plan now that we have a van, I guess, is to get it out there and get it in front of people before it gets repossessed. Beer Mug went out first thing this morning and gave away a whole bunch of Kevin and Bean t-shirts to listeners.
Which we also didn't know we had.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
They found a box in the prize closet and people didn't know what was in it. So someone opened it and they were like, oh, these are some old Kevin and Bean t-shirts.
Oh, my God.
I think we've got time in the next few minutes if we have another batch of t-shirts we can give away. Let's check in with Beer Mug, who's on location right now somewhere in Southern California.
Hey, Mugs.
Hey, guys. This is nice. You know, I could really get used to driving around in this janky-ass spray-painted van by Kevin, getting a nice, fresh morning air in, and just spreading the good word of the Kevin and Bean Morning Show.
You feel like a baller, don't you?
Oh, I mean, all I'm missing is 20-inch rims, and then we're set.
Somebody would like to donate 20-inch rims. We'll be taking them.
Sweet. People give you, like, the thumbs up or something when they see you driving around with this van that's obviously been graffitied to represent our show?
I mean, the looks that we're getting in this thing are, some of them are like, what the hell is that? And then we get our random Kevin and Bean listener who are just so excited to see the van rolling through their neighborhood.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, so you still have some t-shirts left from the box we found in the closet. Where are you, and how many do you have to give away?
We are at the Whole Foods parking lot at 3rd and Fairfax. The address is 6350 West 3rd Street.
Hey, Muggs, have you had a lot of coffee?
So much Starbucks!
I mean, seriously, you don't have to yell. There's a phone there, and that takes your voice and it brings it to us.
Am I clipping? Okay. All right. Did you get the address?
Calm down. Say it again.
Okay. It's at 6350 West 3rd Street in
what,
LA.
What, Muggs?
We can't hear you. He's at the Whole
God
Foods parking lot across from the Grove.
Yes. 6350 West 3rd Street.
Too late.
A little late. All right. How many t-shirts do we have? Can you say? Because we'll give out the Kevin and Bean t-shirts to everybody that comes down.
I'd say we have about 40 t-shirts left.
40?
So get your ass down here.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Whole Food parking lot. Yes. Go ahead, Muggs.
We already have a Kevin and Bean listener here to receive her t-shirt.
Oh. Let's say hi.
Yeah. Right, here. Kevin and Bean want to talk to you.
Hello?
Hi. Who's this?
Hi, this is Nancy.
Nancy, how great is the artwork on that van?
It's awesome. It's awesome. I heard you guys in the morning. I was like, oh, my God, he's good to hope with the 30 Perfect. And it's cool you guys are here.
Well, we want to help yourself to a Kevin and Bean t-shirt and take a picture with the van and upload it so we can see it, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right, thank you.
All right, you're awesome. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Put the yelling man back on.
Right.
Hey, yo, what's up, guys?
All right. We're done with you, Muggs. Thank you.
Hashtag KevDog.
Right. The Killers on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 9:38.
When are you going to book them for another K-Rock show, Allie?
I feel like Weenie Roast.
Mm-hmm.
Not
like
a problem.
It. I like
just
it.
Just play them all, right?
Yeah, a lot of people would be like, they just played acoustic, but I missed them.
You, so, I mean, you were sick, so yeah.
I feel like maybe they could.
We could have them do a set at Foolishness.
Yeah. For sure.
Right?
I like it. I like it. And then every Friday for the sun stop by as
delightful.
Well. Hey, it's Tuesday now on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Allie's here with our final look at what's happening.
Real concerned about Stanley and his money. Found out, it was like last month, TMZ broke the story that around $850,000 out of one of Stanley's bank accounts went missing and someone bought a condo with it. Okay, that's bizarre. But then a couple days later, another $300,000 disappeared.
Okay, that's the part I don't get, because when $800,000 goes missing, don't all the banks like crack down and make sure that it's all secure?
You would think. So let's say this $300,000 got by in that time that they didn't figure it out. Well, what about now? According to TMZ, another $1.4 million just up and disappeared, and he has no idea how.
Wow.
So a specialized unit in the LAPD went to his house. They deal with elder financial abuse, and they sat him down, talked to him for over 2 hours. They want to know exactly who has access to his accounts, a timeline of when the cash went missing. He had to turn over financial records to help him find the culprit. But this is just... It's
but
bizarre.
Part of that 2 hours was them asking Spider-Man questions, I bet.
I bet.
How do you
right? Seriously. Dude, show me like a little tour of the house if we can. Absolutely. But it's just, it's bizarre.
That is bizarre and sad, both.
I don't like any of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my foot down and say no. All right, it's settled. And this is just shady in itself. So remember back in January, we found out that 50 Cent made a ton of money off of Bitcoin because he had people pay for his 2014 album, Animal Ambition, with Bitcoin. That turned into money upwards of $8.5 million.
That's alleged.
It is alleged, because then 50 Cent came out and said, oh, I didn't even remember I had that Bitcoin account. Let me log in. Oh, there it is. I sure do. Amazing. And we were all thinking, what's it like to have that kind of money and not even be aware of close to $9 million just sitting there?
Oh, yeah, that's such a big liar.
He looked like a financial genius for making that investment.
Right. Well, now, according to Billboard.com, they're saying that 50 has told a bankruptcy court that none of that was true. He didn't publicly deny the reports and said, quote, this is particularly true when I feel the press report in question is favorable to my image or brand, even if the report is based on a misunderstanding of the facts or contains outright falsehoods.
You liar!
So essentially, he didn't want to be like, no, I don't have that money. Because his brand is that he's 50 Cent. He knows what he's doing.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I understand that.
100%.
I understand that he
absolutely
didn't want to come out and say, no, it's not true.
Yeah, but then his official statement to the court goes on to say that he, quote, never owned and does not own a Bitcoin account or any Bitcoins. And to the best of his knowledge, none of his companies had a Bitcoin account from 2014 to the present. So my question is there money somewhere that he doesn't want people to know about? That's a possibility. And if not, what were people buying his album in 2014 with?
Hmm.
Because he's saying they bought it with Bitcoin. So where's that money if it wasn't Bitcoin?
Something smells fishy.
It certainly smells fishy.
Is Stan Lee somehow responsible?
I hope not. I hope it's not all intertwined. Well, this is something that Bean has been excited about since he heard about it. It's called the Johnny Cash Forever Words album. It's out on April 16th. If you haven't heard about it, it's artists across multiple genres. They're going to take some of the words and poetry that Johnny Cash has written and then turn them into newly recorded songs. These are artists like Elvis Costello, Jewel, John Mellencamp, Brad Paisley, and as we found out yesterday, Chris Cornell. And he has transformed a pair of Johnny Cash poems into an absolutely beautiful ballad called You Never Knew My Mind.
And there were times of lots of laughter, and you felt you understood. We were carefree, open and honest, loving easy.
Yeah. That it's stunning.
I'll allow it.
That's amazing.
Unbelievably beautiful.
Just you'll allow it? That's amazing.
You know, it's so interesting that he left all these poems behind and writings behind that were never turned into songs. Johnny Cash was such a prolific songwriter, but he wrote so much, he had all this left over that now we're going to actually get to hear what they would sound like set to music, which I think is such a cool idea.
My question is, is it up to the artist's interpretation of how they set it up to music, or was it left as music?
It didn't sound the way you read it. It sounded like it was poetry.
They were poems.
Just written word.
Chris Cornell took and made into music.
That he made into that.
Seems
that
like
is.
It.
Then it's even more stunning.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Because that is absolutely gorgeous. It's available for pre-order, by the way.
The album's going to be great, and you can hear that the entirety of that song at KROQ.com right now if you care to.
You know who else is on there? Casey
Willie
Musgraves.
Nelson. Oh, and Casey Musgraves, too. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You love her.
I love her the best. She had two new songs come out last week. They're so awesome. She's so good. Kevin, do you know her? Do you like her, Casey Musgraves?
Don't know her.
She's the best.
Okay.
She's the best.
Okay.
You should know her.
Come on, Kevin. Get on board.
What style of music, Bean?
I mean country.
All right,
still.
No.
Some birthdays for you. We've got singer Rosanda Thomas. You know her as Chili from TLC. Josh Groban and actress Kate Mara. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. And drive home today. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got World Star Wednesday. We've got our friend comedian Jimmy Pardo joining us in studio. We've got He Said, She Said. And we've got your tickets for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness as well tomorrow morning.